Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 17 to 19. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19, keeping in mind that we're in this list of people, this portrayal of people who have by faith walked with the Lord, served with the Lord. We've already talked about Abraham before in this chapter, but now we're going to be talking about a different and particular incident of faith in his life, when his faith, as we read in Genesis chapter 22, rather, was tried in a most severe way. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Let's pray. Father God, we pray now that you would use the preaching and reading of your word in a mighty and powerful way to increase our love for you, to increase our faith in you, and to increase, Lord, our willingness and desire to live by faith, even in the midst of trial. As we look, Lord, look back at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and as we look forward to our own resurrection, which is portrayed here in these words, we pray, Father, that you would use your word as it is read and preached to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we do pray. Amen. The testing of your faith. If you have faith, you can be assured that one time or another it will be tested. The Apostle James tells us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And you will notice when James said that, he did not say if you fall into various trials, but when you fall into various trials, because the various trials will come. If you are a person of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will face trials. And it is by His design that you do so. So don't be surprised that you do, because this is exactly how the Lord works in your life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 tells us this: "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So Peter expands on this idea that you will face trials, and he says, don't be surprised when you face fiery trials. Meaning that the trials in this life may range from small to huge, from some that are not so difficult to some that are very difficult. These are the trials that God brings into your life. Now, these Hebrew Christians to whom this letter was first written, they were going through some trials. They had made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. And now they were being pressured to turn back to Judaism. They were being pressured to turn back to things that God had never intended for them to turn to for salvation, but to point them to Jesus Christ and salvation. And so they were being persecuted at this time in their life. They were facing a fiery trial. And so the writer to the Hebrews through the Holy Spirit is seeking to convince them not to turn back, but to endure and persevere with faith in Jesus Christ. And so he gives us these multiple examples of people who have done that to convince them to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, and not to turn back. One of the trials that if you live long enough in this life as a Christian, that you will face in this world is the astonishment of people for you to believe that a man came from heaven, actually the Lord Jesus coming from heaven and became a man, lived a life of perfect righteousness, was crucified, and was raised again on the third day. You will be mocked, laughed at. The world laughs at Christians for believing such things. The world says that is a bunch of hooey. That in itself is a form of persecution that we go through. But if you have personal relationships with people and you are talking with them, they will find it incredible that you believe in such a thing. In fact, one of the ladies at the University of Missouri that responded to the outreach there and to the open-air preaching just said, I just can't believe you guys believe there is something after this life. After this life, it's over. And that's where evolution leads you to. That's where evolution expects you to stop. To believe that once this life is over, there is nothing more. The biblical faith calls us, and the Lord calls us to a different point of belief. To believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and that in Him there is eternal life after this life. And so the Holy Spirit today is calling us to look at Abraham's faith again. This time to see how his faith handled a very fiery trial. But through his focus on God's power to raise people to new life, he was able to endure this trial. The resurrection of Isaac that we read about in Genesis 22, the resurrection of Christ and his own resurrection is what the author of Hebrews is speaking to us today about. Because in this life you will be tried, you will be tested, you will be persuaded, you will be pressured, rather, to not believe in the power of the resurrection. To believe in something that you cannot see, that you cannot touch or feel, or to believe in something that you cannot prove is the mission of this world to stop you from believing that. But it is the mission of the Holy Spirit in the book of Hebrews to convince us that in the midst of that kind of pressure and persecution, to endure by faith, believing in the resurrection. 1 Peter also tells us these various trials come that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The faith that you have today in Jesus Christ, the enduring of those trials of faith, while you're living by faith, are the tests that we will face. And they are given to us that they may bring praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that's what a life of faith does. It brings glory to God. As you live in this world, as you live under the pressure of other unbelievers, as you live out your life by faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, with hope and looking forward to that day with confidence of your own resurrection, that glorifies God in this world, to this world. Though they may mock it, they may reject it, but the Scriptures tell us to have confidence that that kind of faith brings glory to God. And so Abraham's faith speaks to us today about believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of you, and of his son Isaac. So we're going to look at three things in this account of Abraham's life. First, in verse 17, we're going to see that biblical faith will be tested. Biblical faith will be tested. Secondly, in verses 17 to 18, biblical faith, when tested, takes action. Biblical faith, when tested, takes action. And thirdly, biblical faith looks to the resurrection. Looks to the resurrection. So first, let's look at biblical faith and the idea that it absolutely, without any uncertainty, will be tested. Your faith will be tested. We have to recall that prior to this account in Genesis chapter 22, that Abraham had already been declared righteous by God because of his faith, Because of believing the promises that had been made to him, God declared him to be righteous. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 to 6, tell us, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir,'" speaking about Abraham's servant, "'but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And the Lord said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he," Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he," the Lord, "counted it to him for righteousness." God had promised to Abraham a son in which he would not be able to count all the descendants that would come from this son. That's what's going on here prior to Abraham's trial. That son whom God had promised now had been born, was of some age when God came to him again, not to make promises yet, but to test his faith in that promise, to see if it was genuine. God comes to Abraham to put him through a very severe trial, probably the most severe trial that any man has ever experienced, at least as recorded to us in the Scriptures. For all of Abraham's hopes were in the promises related to this one child, Isaac. All the things that God had promised him were bound up in this child. And now he's being tested by God in his faith regarding this child. So in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, that is the trial that God laid upon him, saying, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." This is the trial, right here. "Based on the promises I've made to you that from this one child shall all these descendants come. Now, take this one child that I have promised you, take him up upon this mountain and slay him and offer him as a burnt offering to the Lord." What makes this a trial, other than the obvious of having to take the life of his son? What makes this a trial? As a person who has believed God's promises, what things is he looking at in the midst of this trial? This is not just something that is done in a vacuum. There are things that Abraham has come to believe and has come to live out. And now all these things in some regard are being challenged. There is no apparent reason to do this except that God has commanded it. He must go against every feeling of nature and of love for his son and for his family, for his wife. For he is not called to only sacrifice his son, but her son as well. He is not only called to consent to Isaac's death in principle, he is being called to be the one to execute his son. He is the one who is to take a knife in his hand and to slay him. He is the one, after having slayed him, is to take that wood and light it on fire to consume his son as a burnt offering. He's called to go against everything that he knows about human life. Genesis 9:6 tells us, "From the word of the Lord, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man." This is the trial. This is part of what Abraham is facing. Goes against his nature, goes against, apparently, even God's words. It goes against the promise that he has received from God. This command did not seem like it matched with all those things. This is the trial that he's going through, and it is real. How could he tell Sarah about what God had called him to do? That's part of his trial. That's part of the pain and suffering that he is going through as he seeks to walk by faith and obey the Lord. This was a fiery trial. And we notice here that Abraham did not get to choose what kind of trial that God laid upon him. And that's also true for us. There is not a menu of fiery trials that we get to choose and say, Lord, I'll take that one. But not that one yet. It is in the Lord's wisdom that he brought this trial to Abraham to give to him an opportunity to demonstrate his faith. But I want you to see that this trial was real. Much like the trial and temptations of Jesus Christ in the desert, they were real and they were fierce. And so will yours be at times. That God will call you to be faithful, to demonstrate your trust in Him, to demonstrate your belief that He is God of all things and you are His servant. God will call you to these things at times. This whole situation in Abraham's life, these were the things that God had already done in Abraham's life to set up the test of faith. As I said, this was not in a vacuum. It was a trial in the midst of hope and looking for future promises to be fulfilled. It was a trial in the midst of a relationship with his son whom he loved. But it was perfect for Abraham. It was a perfect test to prove the reality and strength of his faith. And so God was using it this way in his life, but also using it, as the Scripture says, as an example for us to look at. To look at in a mirror and see, is that what my faith looks like? Remember James' words, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking nothing. This was part of Abraham's completion. This was part of filling up Abraham's faith, that he would lack nothing. And for us to read about it and look at it and hear about it is also for us as well, to be made complete, lacking nothing. And so the Lord knew exactly what trial Abraham needed to go through. And the Lord knows exactly what trial you need to go through that you may become complete, lacking nothing. You don't. Abraham didn't. But God does. Your faith will be tried. It will be tested. But thanks be to God that He is the one who knows exactly what kind of test and trial you need, that your faith may be strengthened, that you may be given the opportunity to prove that faith and give evidence of that faith, that you may be being made perfect. And I want to ask, are you ready for such a trial? Though all the circumstances said to Abraham, this is not something you should do. It's not natural. It goes against principles in God's Word. It goes against the promise. But Abraham heard the word of the Lord, and rather than looking at his circumstances and acting upon those, he did something different. And that's what biblical faith does. When biblical faith is tested, true biblical faith takes action. That's what we see in verses 17 to 18 of Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 to 10. We notice when God called out to Abraham, Abraham did not run and hide. Abraham did not say, after God had given him the temptation, Abraham did not say, well, are there any other options? Can we do something a little bit less that'll help me get there someday? But right now, sacrificing my son, taking the life of a human being, taking the life of the one in whom all these other people are to come from by your promise, he did not say, I'm not ready for that. Recall what he said in Genesis chapter 22. His response to God calling upon him, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am, here am I. And this is the beginning of faithful service to God. Here am I. Having the heart and mind to go or do whatever the Lord calls you to do, whatever the Lord calls you to go through, starts with a heart of humility. It says, here am I. And this was essentially the response of Jesus Christ. When in eternity past, the Heavenly Father called upon Him, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus too said, here am I. Not only did Abraham say, here am I, but having heard God's command, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 to 10, what actions Abraham took. And not because they made sense. Not because he could reason in his mind that these things look appropriate to do. The Bible goes on to tell us what actions that Abraham took here in Genesis chapter 22, right after he said, here I am. And I want to tell you that the only way that a person could do what Abraham did was by faith in the resurrection. Faith in the power of God to bring that which is dead to life. That's the only way that Abraham could have taken these actions. And here are the actions, which in Hebrews 11:17 refers in the words, by faith, he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, Isaac. In Hebrews 11:17, that's a little condensed statement there. But in Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 to 10, we see that statement expanded on and explained. The Apostle James used this very account of Abraham's faith to teach that biblical faith is one of action, that true faith will produce the works of God. And James said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, his actions? Faith was working together with his works. And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Genesis chapter 22, there is a fulfillment of that time when God accounted righteousness to Abraham. When the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, there was a profession of faith. A confession of faith. And now here is a evidence of faith. The things that Abraham is about to do that the Scripture tells us to do work together with faith, which was made perfect, fulfilled what God accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And what James is saying, that true biblical faith is accompanied by works produces works. It's not faith that is empty without works, without action. And in Abraham, James says, we see that. Faith under trial that was taking action. So how did Abraham pass this trial that God put upon him? How did he pass the trial? Having submitted himself to the Lord and saying, here I am, he now goes on to do what the Lord tells him to do, in spite of everything that is around him that makes this such a test. As we look at his actions, let us look at our lives as well and see, is that how our faith appears? Is our faith one of action? In verse 3 of Genesis 22, it tells us, he rose up early in the morning. He didn't wait to see if the Lord might change his mind. Nor did he put off what God had called him to do. Early in the morning he rose up, he took his son Isaac, whom he loved, and took wood for the burnt offering. Verse 4 tells us he saw the place where God had told him to go, and so he went. He took Isaac with him, but notice what he said to his servants in verse 5. Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Abraham is already exercising faith, even as he testifies to his servants. He believes in the resurrection. Here we begin to see what Hebrews 11:19 tells us. Before he ever went up to the mountain, Abraham had already concluded by faith that both he and Isaac would come back because of God's promises and what he had promised to Isaac that he believed God would still do. Now, this is not something that Abraham knew how it was going to work out. Abraham was not anticipating that he would go up on that mountain and somehow God would stop him from sacrificing Isaac. That's not what the Scripture is telling us here. When he said, the lad and I will go back and come back to you after we have worshipped, in that was included, after I have sacrificed my son. God was not the only one accounting things to someone. Abraham was accounting to God that he would raise Isaac up. And by faith, he went to worship God on that mountain to offer up his son. And this was not just a test of Abraham's faith, but it was also a demonstration of who Abraham to believe was in charge of life, who is sovereign over all things, life and death, who was, because he is sovereign over all things, was to be worshipped. And with humility, Abraham went to humble himself before God and to worship him. Abraham knew that this sacrifice he was offering was not just for you to see thousands of years later. It was not just to test his faith, but it was to call him to worship. Don't forget what he was doing was an act of worship. Worshiping a God who called him to do something incredibly difficult goes against everything he knows and believes. But he went to worship this God. He and the lad. This God that he believed had the power to resurrect life. This is the action that Abraham was taking. Then in verse 6 to 10, we see more proof of Abraham's faith. He laid the wood that would consume his son upon his son. Then took fire and the knife, and the two of them went together. Then Isaac could see that everything was needed for a burnt offering to worship God. He could see that. But Abraham could see something more. Abraham could see that God would provide a lamb for the offering. And in saying that, Abraham was not saying, "Don't worry, Isaac. Even though I have brought wood and fire and a knife," Abraham is not saying, "Don't worry, Isaac. Nothing's going to happen to you." He just said, son, the Lord will provide a lamb. Well, that's not how you went to worship God in those days. You did not go out into the wilderness with your wood and your fire and just come upon an animal and offer any particular animal for a sacrifice. Isaac was right in asking the question, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham was right in answering by faith that the Lord would provide a lamb for the offering. And again, this is not to say that Abraham knew this was just all a ruse. Yeah, I'm taking up the wood and I'm taking up the fire and I'm going to a place and I've got my knife. But surely God is not going to ask me to offer up my son. Really? That was not what Abraham was thinking. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that so much in Abraham's mind was what God was calling him to do that he was going to do it, that when he hadn't done it, it was like receiving Isaac from the dead because he had already considered him to be dead. But he also considered that God would raise him from the dead if that's how God wanted to do this. Those are the actions of Abraham. Had it not been that way, it would not have been a test of faith. If Abraham had the inkling that, oh, this is just, God's not going to really have me do this, it wouldn't have been a test of faith. It would have been a ruse. It would have been a show. But this was a test of faith. Abraham believed that his son Isaac was going to be slain by his hand. That is the test. And every action he took was by faith, that what God had promised him that he would do, even if it meant Isaac would have to die at his hand, that God would still keep that promise. And God would still provide a lamb. The scriptures are clear. In Genesis chapter 22, it tells us, he stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And do not think for a moment that Abraham was taking that knife and slowly raising it up, giving God one last opportunity to stop him. That would not be recorded in the scriptures as faith. He raised that knife up with every intention to slay his son. That was faith in action. Doing what God had called him to the very end. To the very end of Isaac's life. Many in this life, and maybe you know some, I do know some, say they believe in the Lord, believe in Jesus, but when faith is tested, they turn away. And that's what the Hebrew Christians were in danger of here. It's what we've been seeing throughout the whole book of Hebrews. They were saying they believed, but when persecution came, they were turning away. And so this is the Holy Spirit's concern for these Hebrew Christians. It is the Holy Spirit's concern for Christians today that we would endure by faith to the end, that we would pass the tests of our confession. Abraham's faith demonstrated that to God that he feared him, for the Lord said, when he called out to Abraham with that knife up in the air, he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God." For now I know. It wasn't as if the Lord didn't know in the first place. The Lord knows all things. There is a distinction being made here in time and action for our sakes. For when the Lord says, "Now I know," he is saying, "You have demonstrated that you fear me." He is speaking to us as men, speaking to Abraham like a man. When something is done that shows progress or proof by someone's actions, he was saying to Abraham, "You have demonstrated that you do fear me, you do reverence me, you do worship me." Now, Abraham, you have not only confessed with your mouth that you believe me and your promises, my promises, but you have shown it since you have not withheld your only son. Abraham, you have offered up to me that which is most precious to you. Abraham, you have gone against all earthly wisdom and obeyed me by faith. You have gone against your nature and your love to your son and to your wife, and you have obeyed me by faith. You have demonstrated that you believe I am God and you are my servant. These are the things that Abraham did. When the Lord called to him this time, in Genesis chapter 22, he said again, "Here I am." And so all the things that happened in this trial were bracketed by the words of a humble, faithful servant. "Here I am." His response to God started with the words, "Here I am." And they ended that way as well. For Abraham held nothing back from the Lord, giving the evidence of his faith and fear of the Lord. It is this kind of faith that is rewarded by God. It is this kind of faith that is needed to believe that God will provide a lamb. Abraham's faith was not fueled by something in him, but what he knew of God and what God had promised. And Abraham knew that God was not only a promiser, but also a provider. And so biblical faith then looks to the provider of the promises. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 19 and Genesis chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. Tell us, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" Biblical faith looks to the provider of the promises, and what God has promised is that Jesus Christ would come, he would be crucified, and on the third day he would be resurrected. And this is the Lamb of God that God provided. I want to tell you, in this trial of Abraham, he never hoped. It was not in his mind, "Surely God will not call me to do this." God had already called him to do it. God had already instructed him to do it. But he had concluded, verse 19 tells us in Hebrews, that the Almighty God, who had power over life and death, had the power to resurrect his son, to accomplish the task of sacrificing his son. God would also raise him from the dead. And so the account of Abraham is presented to us that we too might have faith in God's power over life and death. I'm going to tell you something. As I've talked to Christians who have come to the point of dying, this matters. When you are facing death, when you are facing a trial of death, it matters whether you believe in the resurrection or not. It matters where you believe that the same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, will He raise you from the dead as well? Will He take you, as He promised, into eternity to be with Him as well? And so the account of Abraham is presented to us that we might have this kind of faith, that we might be looking to the power of God's resurrection. The Hebrew Christians are being taught, and we are being taught, to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and what God did through Him, putting Him on the cross, sacrificing Him to pay for our sins, and raising Him up on the third day, and sitting Him at His right hand. Because if you do not believe that about Jesus, you will not believe that about your life either. Nor should you. Because if you do not believe that God raised Jesus from the dead after crucifying Him to pay for your sins, you'll not be resurrected to life, but you'll be resurrected to death. But the Scriptures tell us here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, that Abraham considered Isaac as if he had already been crucified, already been laid on that wood, already been burnt up. In his mind, it had happened. And so figuratively, when God provided a different lamb, it didn't happen. It was like receiving somebody from the dead. That's how much Abraham believed in the resurrection. How much do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And do you believe that His resurrection secures your resurrection? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is saying to these Hebrew Christians and saying to us. Believe in the resurrection as Abraham did. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lamb that is provided. And that Lamb that God provided represents the Lamb that God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is more to this account than future life. Because Abraham, in that day of his, he was being called to live by faith right now. That day when God called him to sacrifice his son, God was calling him to live by faith on that day in the midst of those terrible circumstances. And so it is with these Hebrew Christians of the day when this letter was written to them, and so it is to us today. We are to live now daily in view of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our own lives. For those of us who believe in Christ, we are called here to look at Abraham and his faith, to be willing and active and giving up whatever it is that God calls us to give in service and worship to Him, saying, "Here I am. Here I am." See, saying as Abraham did, "Here I am," was an all-out abandonment of anything precious to us. "Whatever, Lord. Whatever. Here I am." Romans 6:4 tells us, we who are Christians, that we are united to Christ by faith, that we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. One of the aspects of that walking in newness of life is to live by faith in this life. In this life. To be able to say, "Here I am in this life." Whatever trial, whatever test, whatever fiery ordeal the Lord would like to take us through, biblical faith would say, "Here I am." So when God calls you to do something or to believe something that the world says is ridiculous, when God calls you to live a certain way, and He does call us to live and walk in newness of life after Jesus Christ, when He calls us to that, we are to respond to Him saying, "Here I am." Because I believe that no matter what you call me to here this day and what you the circumstances or consequences may be of your call upon my life, I believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in my resurrection because of His. And biblical faith says, "Here I am." And why does it say that? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith does not live under fear of man. Faith unites us to Christ and calls us to live accounting His life, His death, and His resurrection as ours. Faith is not just about trusting to get to heaven. And so often that's how we present the gospel. That's certainly a big part of it. But biblical faith is right now. It is for as you worship. It is for as you go home. It is as you go into the workplace. Biblical faith that is trusting in God and the power of His resurrection allows us, empowers us to say, man can do me no harm. What can man do to me? I am going to be resurrected. I am united to Jesus Christ in His resurrection. Death has no power over us as Christians. In Jesus Christ, we have the victory over death. And so we are called in the testing of our faith to say, right now, today, here I am. Just like Abraham did. Not knowing how this was going to turn out, but knowing that God is the provider of all that we need for life. And Abraham knew that. So he was able to say, here I am, not just for the future, but for this day, Lord, when you call me through this fiery trial, here I am. Abraham had made a confession of faith, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And when that faith was tested in a fiery trial, Abraham was able to pass the test of his faith by trusting the Lord to provide. And so he was able to say, here I am. And so the question is to you and to me and to those Hebrew Christians of that day, when life gets fiery, will your faith enable you to say, here I am? You can if you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection. You can if you believe by faith that you are united to Christ in His death and in His resurrection, and in being brought to newness of life today, God enables you to walk following Christ in newness of life. We must keep our eyes on Christ, His resurrection. Because what happens when you go through a fiery trial and you start looking at the circumstances, whatever it might be, and you stop thinking about Jesus and His resurrection and your resurrection, then all of a sudden, this flesh and this life, they become important to us. More important than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so keeping our eyes on Christ minimizes what this life is really all about, how long it is, and what it is made up of. Enables us to endure fiery trials to the end of our lives. What trial is the Lord taking you through that you may say to Him, here I am? If you're not going through a trial now, you can rest assured there will be a day when you will. Even if it's all the way to the end of your life when you die, you'll be tried in your faith. You'll be tested. And so Abraham is put before us here to encourage us to believe in the provision of God and His resurrection of Jesus Christ and your resurrection. That in the midst of this life right now, you may say, Lord, here I am. Do what you will. For I am looking to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our exhortation. Lord, here I am. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, having heard your word read and preached now, Lord, we ask that you would use your Holy Spirit to work faith in us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep our eyes on His resurrection, believing that our resurrection is tied to His, enabling us, Lord, to live by faith in this life today, under fiery trials, whether it is as we live or whether it is as we die. We pray, Lord, you would help us to do so. that we would give the evidence of biblical faith in you.